Welcome to our service for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. We consider today the ministry of the prophet Amos. It always makes me smile that Amos is described as a dresser of sycamore trees, whereas what gardeners more usually want is a chopper down of sycamore trees. It turns out that the sycamore tree in the Middle East is a different genus, capable of bearing small, edible berries. That Amos was a dresser of sycamores, as well as a shepherd, still suggests, apparently, that he was dirt poor. And as we shall be hearing, from that poverty emerges some of the most vivid and some of the earliest of Old Testament prophecy. Our readings suggest, correctly in my view, that we should see John the Baptist in the long line of angry prophets of Israel, of whom Amos is perhaps the first. So our first hymn is one we might associate with Advent and the ministry of John. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. So, to our prayers of penitence, let us pray. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross, many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the seventh Sunday after Trinity. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with all goodness. And of your great mercy keep us in the same. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever. Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very centre of the house of Israel, the land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. King Herod heard of the healings and other miracles, but Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison, on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. And John had been telling Herod, it isn't lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him, and wanted to kill him. But she couldn't, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod on his birthday gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. He solemnly swore to her, Whatever you ask me, I will give you, even to half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, What should I ask for? She replied, The head of John the Baptist. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptizer on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here ends the reading. May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Le 14 juillet, Bastille Day. Terrible temptation to talk about French politics, which, after the shock of last Sunday's election result, are even more interesting than British politics at present. But having talked about modern politics a bit last week, it's a temptation I shall manfully resist. We will look instead at the prophet Amos. Not that Amos is by any means an unpolitical figure. At this point in its history, the nation of Israel, which had been united under David and Solomon, has actually divided into two kingdoms along tribal lines. Confusingly for us, the northern kingdom is still called Israel, while the southern one is called Judah. And it is in the northern kingdom of Israel mainly that Amos exercises his ministry, where we find him today, in something like the 7th century before Christ. The king of Israel, the northern kingdom at this time, is Jeroboam, he after whom our champagne bottles are named. But there is nothing sparkling about Jeroboam's rule, and it is Amos's calling to tell the people so. The Lord says, "The sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword." The sanctuaries of Israel are, of course, its holy places, shrines and temples where the Lord is worshipped. It appears that Amos has taken his disturbing message right to the shrine, which is most closely related to the royal house, the shrine at Bethel. Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, is unimpressed. "O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for 'tis the king's sanctuary, and 'tis its temple of the kingdom." The whole of what is wrong with Amaziah's understanding of his calling to minister to the Lord is expressed in those words. Back in the early days, the Lord's people had never had a king for exactly this kind of reason. Amaziah is confused between his duty as a priest of the Lord and his role as a servant of King Jeroboam. Bethel is not, as Amaziah describes it, the king's sanctuary. It is the Lord's. It is not a temple of the kingdom. It is a temple of the Lord. Because of his failure fully to understand this, Amaziah's ministry is fatally compromised. He cannot hear or bear the truth in the word of the Lord which Amos is speaking. All his instincts are to hush it up, to keep the prophet quiet, even to send him away. It's not impossible that he's genuinely concerned for Amos's safety when he sends him away, but because Amaziah has so deeply misunderstood his own ministry, he completely fails to understand the ministry of Amos. He can apparently only imagine Amos is some kind of a mouthpiece for hire. There are plenty of people who can pay to support a prophet in Judah, the southern kingdom. Let him go and prophesy and earn his bread there. But Amaziah has fatally mistaken his man. "I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees," says Amos, "not a prophet or a prophet's son. The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" As I mentioned earlier, those of you cursed with sycamore trees in your gardens may wonder why a man should be a sycamore dresser, but we know that the Middle Eastern sycamore tree bears small edible berries, but they are apparently hardly worth the trouble of cultivation, which is why somehow it emphasizes Amos's poverty. Only someone really poor would bother with them. poor as he is, perhaps, unschooled and unsophisticated, Amos is nevertheless not a mouthpiece for hire. He's just a man in whose heart the fire of the Lord burns bright, and in whose mind the burden of the word of the Lord weighs heavy. He will not be silenced, and he will not run away. He will stay and preach the word of the Lord, despite any threat that Jeroboam might bring against him. Amos's prophecy is some of the most vivid and violent in the Old Testament. He prophesies not only about Israel and Judah, but about surrounding lands and tribes and countries. The impression we get from him is of a number of small tribal kingdoms that have been constantly at war with each other, tearing each other apart whenever any of them gets the upper hand. His imagery is often violent. As a shepherd rescues from a lion's mouth only two leg bones or a piece of an ear, so will the Israelites living in Samaria be rescued, with only the head of a bed and a piece of fabric from a couch. But the two images from his prophecy which have come down to us with greater resonance seem to come from a calmer place in his imagination. The second of them is in the next chapter after the one we have today. It's of a basket of ripe figs, with the message that the time is ripe for judgment. Hear this, you who trample the needy, and do away with the poor of the land, skimping on the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver, and the needy for a pair of sandals. Here in chapter 8, most famously of all, is the eternally applicable image of the plumb line. Like any plumb line, like any pendulum, Amos's plumb line has an hypnotic quality. We watch it and wait for it to settle. And only when it has settled can we see the crookedness of the wall that should be straight. As we watch the plumb line sway, so we ask the same question of our own lives as Amos encouraged the Israelites to ask of theirs. When the Lord stands in judgment over us and his plumb line ultimately comes to rest, will our lives be found straight and true? And if they are not, where are the kinks and crookednesses which, in the Lord's grace, we must seek to straighten out? Every Sunday, we come to church and we confess our sins. We think first, perhaps, of the ways in which we have fallen short of the standards we expect of ourselves, then of the ways in which we feel that we have disappointed others, falling short of the standards that they may properly expect of us. But finally, and above all, we think of the ways in which we have fallen short of the standards which the Lord requires of us. I always accompany that thought, though, with two particular qualifications, which you will probably have heard me make before. There is a tendency to think that our sin is comprised of the things we have done wrong, wrong words or actions, what the theologians call sins of commission. But when the Lord Jesus walked this earth, he was, by the standards of the religious people, scandalously lax in his capacity to forgive sins of commission, the wrongdoing of the tax collectors, the sinners, even of a woman caught in the act of adultery. His severest judgment was reserved for what the theologians call sins of omission, the failure to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, free the prisoners. In short, the failure to love our neighbours, which he was quite clear was the highest commandment of his Father. The second qualification, though, is more for our comfort. Our very first duty to our neighbours is to forgive them. In the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples, which again we recite every week, the words give us two clauses. First, forgive us our trespasses, and secondly, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But there is a third clause, unspoken, which we hear, or should hear, in our hearts. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, just as we know, Lord, that you have forgiven us. The Lord gives us commandments not to sin, not so that we can be overborne by his authority and live in fear of his judgment, but so that we can, by doing good to each other and forgiving each other when we go wrong, we can spread that kingdom of love, joy, and peace which he has given himself to bring. The plumb line stands against us, but the penalty for our crookedness is borne at Calvary, so that we can live lives set straight by the Lord, and in doing so, we can bless our neighbours as the Lord himself has blessed us. Amen.
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sisters, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, brothers, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, brothers, let's go down, down in the river to pray. As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Oh, sinners, let's go down, down in the river to pray.
It's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Helen. We begin with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. En tad yr hynnoed yn y nefoedd, sancteiddi y dy enw. Deled y dernas, gwnel y dy wyllus. Megis yn y nef, fechlu ar y ddear hefyd. Dydon ni heddiw yn bara benyddiol, y maddau a ni i dyledion, byl y maddau o'n ninnau yn dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni y brofedigaeth, eith y gwared ni rhag drwg. Canis eith o ti o'r dernas, a'r gallu a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
To God the Father who created the world, to God the Son who redeemed the world, to God the Holy Spirit who sustains the world, be all praise and glory now and forever. Everlasting God, we pray that all who come into our church may be enabled to renew their relationship with you and may find in you rest, peace, strength, grace, and most of all, your abiding presence. Help us as a congregation to be outward looking, that through our fellowship we may share our faith and the gospel of your Son Jesus Christ with those who we love and live amongst. We pray for the leaders of the church throughout the world, and especially those in our local ministry area. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for the people of our world who are less fortunate than we are, especially those who live in the third world, in countries where there is very little governmental stability, or where there is drought or famine. Help us to remember those who are weary with the relentless struggle to keep alive, for those who can never look forward to a good meal and a comfortable bed, and those who barely have the necessities of life, much less so many material luxuries which we so often take for granted. We pray also for those whose lives continue to be affected by war and unrest in both Ukraine and the Middle East. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Annwyl dad, gweddion dros ein teuluoedd, ffrindiau a'n cymdogion. Trwy ei helpu a rhoi'n amser iddyn nhw, fe ddown yn agosach at a ti. Diolchwn am rheini sydd yn gweithio o fewn ein cymunedau, am y rhai sydd yn creu swyddi lleol trwy twristiaeth a llety garwch, am y ffermwyr sy'n darparu'n bwyd ni, am yr unigolion sydd yn gweithio dydd a nos i ddarparu gwasanaethau cyhoeddus, ac am y gwasanaethau brys. Byddwch gyda nhw pa maent yn wynebu sefyllfaidd peryglus. Gwyliwch drostyn nhw a'u cadw'n ddiogel. Arglwydd yn dy drigaredd, gwrando ein gweddi. Healing God, we raise before you those who are sick. We ask that you will ease their pain and heal the damage done to them in body, mind or spirit. Be present with them through the support of friends and in the care of doctors and nurses. Fill them with the warmth of your love, now and always. And in a moment's quiet, we remember in our hearts those precious to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we commend into your hands those whom we have loved and now have lost. You gave them breath and loved and cared for them throughout their lives. Receive them now in your eternal kingdom, and may they rest in peace and rise in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we dedicate all these people in petitions to your loving care. Give us the strength and courage to walk alongside those in need, to fight for justice for the oppressed, and to allow others to see you in us and in all that we do in the coming week. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Down in the valley with my Saviour I will go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere he leads me I will follow, follow on, walking in his footsteps till the crown be won. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus everywhere. Close beside my Saviour will my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that he has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus, everywhere he leads me, I will follow on.
Now may the love of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home, rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home, rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.